Bienvenidas a Radio Menea. I'm Miriam Suela Perez.
And I'm Vero Valletti Flores, and we are two Latinx friends with wildly different music tastes.
Each week we bring you music from the Latinx artists that we love, and this week we're doing a deep dive into Salsero Victor Manuel.
Yeah, Puerto Rican legend. Let's get into it. What are we starting with?
So this is from his latest album, which is part of why we're talking about him today. His album came out on April 12th. And this was the lead single from the album, so it came out a couple of months ago. It's called Otra Noche Más, featuring Frankie Ruiz. Let's take another listen.
So, a sad hoe anthem.
I mean, I feel like if you're doing a feature with someone who's been dead for many years, it's going to be a little bit sad.
Well, it's like not really like sadness about death.
No.
As much as it is sadness about, I don't know, man, sleeping around. Maybe I feel like I've never been in this position where I'm like, you know, unsatisfied with all of the sleeping around that I'm doing. I feel like the solution would be to simply stop. But
I mean, this is Salsa Romantica, so it's gonna always have, you know, that's
a little
bent.
Dramatic flair.
Yeah, it's not salsa, you know, slutty or whatever. It's Salsa Romantica, so yeah, it's gonna be about love and love lost and love unrequited, and you know, so I know this is not this is not your jam necessarily as a genre, but I like it, which no one's gonna be surprised by.
I mean, no, I'm into it. I just am like, lyrically I'm like listening to that. I'm just like, what's going on for you, my dude? Like, you know that it's an option to stop here.
Yeah, I really, you don't relate to the sentiment of it, but you enjoy the music, I think is true.
That's right.
This is a sweet song because Victor says he grew up listening to Frankie Ruiz. Frankie Ruiz is also one of my favorite salseros. And he died tragically young from basically like the impacts of alcoholism. And so this song, there's a video that I watched that Victor put out about this song. And he was like, you know, this is someone that I would always love to collaborate with. So we tried to kind of like recreate the sound of that era and also like make it as if the two of us are actually collaborating. And that this song is, you know, the song that he samples is like one of his favorite Frankie Ruiz songs. So I can relate to that. I love Frankie Ruiz is like one of my favorite sort of like classic salseros from the 90s, from that era, and or not the 90s, like 80s and 90s. Yeah. So I can appreciate that he's trying to bring his voice back, even though it is a little sad since he's been gone for so long.
So this episode, this like new Victor Manuel album is sort of a hook towards looking at Victor Manuel as a salsero, like in his like body of work more deeply. And Perez, you did sort of like the digging for this episode. What did you learn?
Well, it was interesting to think about him because I feel like we've talked a lot about like the Fania era salsa, right? Which is like sort of the original salseros, and like they really define the genre. And then this is, I think, like sort of the next generation, maybe, or like 1.2 generations above, right? Like he was born in 68. Yeah. So he was like a teenager when, you know, the sort of people post Fania were starting to come up. So it's just an interesting, like, I think, generation of salsa. He's in his late 50s. He's still doing his thing. This album, like I said, was released just 2 weeks ago. And it's called Retro Romantico. So it is kind of like looking back at, this classic era of salsa romántica, which is really where he like solidly lands, and which was pretty big in like the 80s and 90s. Yeah. And so it isn't necessarily like as big now as it was, but he's continued to like put out albums over and over and over again. So yeah, I thought it was just interesting. It's not like a era that I've like, or that we have really like looked deeply into. And yeah, I thought his album was a good hook to kind of do that. So he's Puerto Rican. He was born in New York City, but actually raised in Puerto Rico predominantly. And his nickname is El Sonero de la Juventud. And it's interesting because his mentor, who is Gilberto Santa Rosa, who again is like a generation above him, the story of the beginning of his career is that Gilberto was at his like graduation party, or a graduation party concert at Manuel's high school in Puerto Rico. The story is that Victor actually went up to him and said, like, can I sing with you? And was this like very shy, like nervous kid. And he ended up getting invited to. And then Gilberto says he was like so shocked by like what came out of his mouth and like his voice.
Wow.
And also his ability to come up with lyrics on the spot, right? In order to his ability to improvise. And so supposedly he introduced him at this moment as El Sonero de la Juventud, and that's how he got the nickname. So so it was pretty it's a pretty incredible story. So it's quoted in a couple different places about the origins of his work. So then him and Gilberto Santa Rosa have had this like mentorship career, and we're actually going to get to some collaboration between the two of them later on in the episode. But I thought that was a pretty cool story.
Great. Well, let's go back to some classic Victor Manuel. What do you have next for us?
So this one is a song from his debut album, which came out in 1993, and it's called ¿Qué Importa?
Si quiero que seas dueña de mi ser que te detiene, si quiero que seas mía, por amor a que le temes, no importa lo que digan, porque de avergonzarme, si para amarte no hace falta certificación, para quererte a ti no hace falta la experiencia, si con tu madurez basta para que lo obtenga, no importa lo que digan, porque de avergonzarme, si para amarte no hace falta certificación. Y qué importa que no seas como yo, si no existen reglas cuando hay amor. Y qué importa lo que hablen de los dos, diferencia en años no es delito, nuestro amor llegará a lo infinito. Lo que importa es que hay amor entre tú y yo. Quererte a ti no hace falta la experiencia, si con tu madurez.
I feel like Salsa Romántica was like a big part of my childhood because of the time, and that it was really popular like in this like early 90s was a time when I was like 9, 10, so I was still spending a lot of time listening to the music that my father listened to. You know, I maybe started to, and probably got my first Walkman like a few years later, you know, when I could like listen to my own music. So I just feel like this music is very nostalgic for me of that time, and like the Miami radio and listening to what was coming out at the time. So that's one of the reasons that I like it, on top of the fact that it kind of hits on a lot of the things that I enjoy. Sappiness, I like salsa. I like the particular sounds that Salsa Romántica kind of brings to the table. So, this was his debut album. So he's had like many, many albums throughout his career, and he's done very well. A lot of the albums have done well. But he didn't have his first number one hit actually until 2004. And this is the song that I remembered most clearly from when it came out, and I wonder, Vero, if you will remember it or not. But let's take a listen to Tengo Ganas from 2004.
Con un nudo en la garganta, con el alma hecha pedazos, solo quisiera decirte, no te he olvidado. Pasado tanto tiempo desde el día aquel que te fuiste de mi vida y no supe entender. si fue mi culpa o en qué cosa te hice daño. Solo quisiera decirte cuánto te extraño. Que mi vida ya no es vida desde que no estás. Solo vivo en el recuerdo y en la soledad. Tengo ganas de volver a enamorarme, pero siempre tu recuerdo me lo impide. Tengo ganas de hacer el amor con alguien y el fantasma de tu cuerpo me persigue. Tengo ganas de volver a enamorarme, de entregar mi corazón.
So this style of music is very popular in Venezuela. Salsa romántica is very, very popular.
Interesting.
But I feel like 2004 was a time where I was like probably fairly disconnected from what was like sort of like the hit machine in Latin music, because I was both like out of my house and not going back. I hadn't gone back to Venezuela like for like 5 years. So there was like a period of like 5 years where I didn't go back. Okay. And this was like also a time where I was like sort of discovering a lot of new music. So I was like sort of diving, like Latin music was not something that I was paying that much attention to. Like up until probably like, I mean, 2004, like when like reggaeton was like, you know, starting to infiltrate like the entire global consciousness, I was like, wait, what's happening here? But like, I feel like during that time was like a time where I was really focused on different music and not going back to Venezuela as much. Probably like between 2000 and 2005 or six. So I don't remember this song actually, but I have heard it since, but I don't remember it like being a hit like back then, because I wasn't sort of like in it in the same way.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. Well, it makes sense that you've heard it since, cause I think it is one of his biggest hits. Although he's had some more recent ones, but this one I think it was his first number one at least. And interestingly, the year before this happened, he had a really big sort of iconic moment, during Celia Cruz's funeral at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. He, in July of 2003, he sang an a cappella version of her song La Vida Es Un Carnaval, and it was like a video clip that kind of went viral and like people were passing it around on TV, you know, because this was before the internet. And so
I mean, in 2004, 2003, there was internet. It looked a little bit different.
Different, yeah. Did YouTube, but I don't think we had YouTube or anything yet, right?
I feel it was like early days of YouTube, wasn't it? Maybe 2000. I remember seeing YouTube videos in 2005.
That's so like maybe Facebook
know.
Yeah, Facebook started
in 2004. I don't know if in 2004 there was YouTube, but...
Well, the anecdote I found about it talked about it being on Spanish language television. He's got an incredible voice. And I think if you can do, you can do an a cappella version of that song and, you know, very poignant, you know, she was so beloved and, you know, her funeral, her death was like a big thing for many, many people.
Yeah.
And so then he had performed that song at a tribute concert for her. And that was the last time she ever performed on stage. And so then he brought it back for her funeral. So very tender.
Very tender.
Very tender. But yeah, for me, I think memories, I have very strong both scent memories. Like if I smell something that I smelled at a certain time, it can really bring back. And then I feel that way about certain songs. So like this song really, like I'm like sitting in the back of my dad's like Camry, you know, in Miami, like going down Route 1. Like, you know, it's very much like a moment in time. So I think it was also, you know, Miami, when we'd be in Miami, we would spend way more time together as a family than we would like back home in North Carolina. So it was also like more kind of captive to like listening to his music, you know. Didn't have as much independence when we were with family. So but yeah, this song I really love, and it has just a lot of emotion, which is one of the things he does really well, and one of the things that Salsa Romantica does really well in general.
Yeah, lovely. So what song do you have for us next?
So he and his mentor, Gilberto Santa Rosa, put out a joint album in 2005 called Dos Soneros, Una Historia. And so let's take a listen to, this is the title track from that album.
Soy la historia del amor y el desamor, del romance y la traición, de las risas y el dolor del corazón.
Soy la historia que mi abuela me contó, meciéndose en un sillón, ese día en que mi abuelo se marchó.
Soy la historia y el lenguaje de mi barrio, el sentir del vecindario. Soy el alma de un sonero y su pregón.
Soy la historia del que vive en la distancia y sueña con la esperanza de que un día va a su tierra a regresar. Soy la historia de aquel niño soñador que sueña con la ilusión de que un día alguien escuche su canción.
Soy la historia y el sentir de una nación que lucha con la intención de defender su verdad y su razón.
Soy la historia de aquella madre que reza porque se acabe la guerra para poder a sus hijos abrazar. Gracias, humilde sonero, por brindarnos tanta gloria.
Gracias, tu sonero joven, vivirás en mi memoria.
Juntos somos dos soneros, una historia.
Juntos somos dos soneros.
I love that they're calling themselves soneros here, like as like a recognition of like the role of son in salsa, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, I was reading a little bit more about the like this epic story about like how he was discovered by Gilberto. And so apparently the reason he got invited up on stage is because his classmates were like big upping him about how good of a singer he was. And so then Gilberto was like, all right, well, come show me what you have.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he had that moment. So I feel like a lot of these singers have these like interesting moments of like coincidence or just being in the right place at the right time where something like that happens. And I guess that's what happened before people could like be discovered on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, it's such a like I love it when it's like this like big moment, you know, like it's like am I gonna do it, am I not gonna do it, I'm, you know, like this one big sort of reveal.
And the idea that like he would be like all nervous and like just unassuming, and then all of a sudden this sunset was like shocked by what comes out of his mouth, you know?
Yeah,
some people really do like come alive on stage, you know, so maybe one of them.
I feel like I would absolutely, like, you know, tank in that scenario. Like, a high-stakes, like, audience situation. And just
oh,
like,
my God,
ooh.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's hard. Imagine.
I mean, I'm good at public speaking, and I've done that in, like, very high-stress environments, like TED Talks. But
yeah.
When it comes to performing, I mean, I don't have those skills.
Yeah, I've never been too nervous about public speaking either, and I'm good at it and done a lot of it in my days, so I feel fine about that too. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't sing and I can't sing. It seems really high stakes to like be like, sing, you know. Maybe if I was a good singer, it would feel different.
Definitely. Okay, I was trying to like look a little bit into his personal life. I don't follow him very closely, and like his Wikipedia didn't have very much of his personal life. So it looks like he got married in 2021. But to a woman that he'd been living with for 13 years. So that's really interesting to me. I don't know what the story is about why they hadn't gotten married for so many years. Because he also is relatively religious. When he got the Lifetime Achievement Award, the first thing he said was, first, I'd like to thank... He said this in Spanish, but... First, I'd like to thank the one I think is the best composer, producer, Jesus Christ. Just like,
wow.
I know. And then he thanked his wife, thanked his fans and whatever, you know. Oh, he also thanked Gilberto Santa Rosa. So yeah, it's interesting to me. I don't know what the story is about why he lived in sin for 13 years before getting married to his wife a couple of years ago.
Wow. Well, I sort of love that, you know.
Yeah, I know you're not. You're all for living in sin.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. I love for the state to not be up in the business of who I'm having sex with.
Fair.
Know?
Or People Magazine.
or People Magazine.
If you are Victor Manuel. Yes. I'm pretty sure he has kids as well, but yeah, you know, Vero and I, gossip is not our forte. So I spent more time looking into his music than into his personal life. All right, this next song, I hope that you will remember, Vero. I brought it actually to our body episode, which was episode 14. So it's been a minute. That was probably back in the first year that we had the show. And it's just such a good one. So he's pretty, like, of the singers in, like, Latin pop genres of today, like, he's pretty faithful to, like, salsa. He's not done any English language albums. He's not done a lot of, like, let me try a different genre. But he has done some collaborations. And has a few kind of, like, iconic ones with some reggaetoneros. And this one, I think, is one of my favorites. And so this is Ella Lo Que Quiere Salsa. It's from 2013, and it's featuring Voltio and Joel Irandi.
Dispuesta que la baile toda la noche entera. Cúcala que sale pa' afuera. Quiere que le pongan salsa, que le pongan salsa. Ni romance, fichureo, ni botella. Ella solo quiere que le den lo de ella. Salsa. Ella lo que quiere es salsa. ¡Ay! Ella vino a la conquista.
Salsa nada más.
Así que llévala a la pista y deja que mueva su falda.
Otra vez.
Oye, ella lo que quiere es salsa.
Corre su cuerpo a su espalda.
Ella vino a la conquista.
Díselo,
Salsa, bravo, aguillete de lista. Soy tu pirata, ready a la conquista. Viento en popa, tierra a la vista. Yo voy a dejar caer el ancla contigo en la pista. Tengo el tumbao que te agarre y te atrapa. Y te saca lo de...
Yeah, I definitely remember this one.
So good.
So good. I love the bringing of Voltio and Joel y Randy to these.
Right?
These are... Mm-hmm. This is excellent.
But it's like, it's still a salsa song, you know? He's not doing reggaeton.
Yeah,
like staying,
absolutely. No.
He's bringing them into his lane, you know, which I...
Yeah, exactly.
I can appreciate. So there was actually some controversy that he was involved in 2018. He put out a song with Farruko, and they were called Amarte Duro. And there's a lyric in that song that many people thought was questionable. Mm. And the lyric is, Te voy a dar bien duro como Chris le daba a Rihanna.
Oh my God, yikes.
Yeah,
that's
so I'm gonna hit you, like hit you hard, like Chris to Rihanna, which folks probably remember. Chris Brown assaulted Rihanna, I think, multiple times during their relationship. And so, not a good metaphor. So Victor Manuel apologized. I think that actually was a Farruko lyric in the song. But
but
it's a collaboration.
Yeah,
it's a collaboration. Yeah, it was a Farruko says this line. And so a lot of people got really pissed off and were upset about how it was normalizing sexual domestic violence.
Yeah.
And so he apologized on Instagram, saying that, you know, he would never try to promote sexual assault and that, that it was a mistake.
And since, Farruko has found God.
I know. Farruko's found God. I don't know that he ever actually... Yeah, I don't know. According to the articles that I found, like, this is a Remezcla article, he had not responded publicly to it. So, yeah, which is interesting. Given that, yeah, Farruko has been another one of the ones that have found Jesus in the last couple of years. But yeah, so, I mean, I appreciate that he apologized. It wasn't, like, the world's best apology. He has a little bit of, like, I didn't think about the connection to whatever. You know, it's a little bit of defensiveness, but at least he apologized. He's got a pretty good image, so this is like, there's not been a ton of controversy.
Yeah, Victor Manuel is like muy sanito, you know, like muy familia, very like at the family party type
exactly.
of thing, you know?
Yeah, so I think that was maybe
Which is so funny also, like some of the stuff that we think of like as sanito when you like I don't know. Like it's like more of like an image and a vibe than a reality, you know? Like,
right. Because they're singing like, stuff like Desnuda de mujer.
Yeah. Or like Burbujas de amor. Like, you know, my dude making pussy juice bubbles like during the family gathering. Like,
it's. Well, it's just you can't examine the metaphor too deeply.
I think it needs to be like mujer, just under like it just like I don't even know what the standard is. I think the standard is
there isn't one
and we're just going based on vibes.
Yeah,
it's
vibes.
Like, does he have a nice haircut? Does he dress like in a nice little suit? Like that works.
Vibes, sometimes racism, sometimes classism.
Absolutely. Like, all of
what's
that.
What's respectable, just... what's not. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. true. So he has, like I said, he stayed pretty like firmly in the salsero lane, but he did have an acting moment. He played Ruben Blades in El Cantante. I have not seen that. Have you seen that movie, Vero?
No. Oh, El Cantante. Yes, I saw it.
Okay.
You should watch it.
I need to watch it. So he played, Victor Manuel played Ruben Blades. I guess because he was a younger version of Ruben, I guess is why they didn't have Ruben play himself.
I mean, this was like early, this movie is like about early days of Fania, so of like Fania. Everybody's like super young.
Do you remember his acting?
I watched the movie not that long ago, but I don't remember it, to be
that's
honest.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like if it was really bad, you probably would have remembered that.
Yeah, I would have remembered if it was terrible. So J-Lo was in it.
Yes, J-Lo and Mark Anthony was also in it. Are you saying that J-Lo was terrible? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. J-Lo is like an okay actress. She's just fine.
Okay. I know we haven't followed the J-Lo stuff too closely, but I have to share a new development that I heard today.
Oh my God, please do.
The J-Lo. Also, did you know some people are calling her J-Lulu instead of J-Lo?
Checks out.
Yeah. So apparently J-Lo's team has been very aggressive about copyright violation reports on people's TikTok videos.
Are they taking down the sounds and stuff because they're making fun of her?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'll put a link in the show notes to this comedy podcast I've been listening to called Go Touch Grass. And they are the ones that informed me of this situation. And so apparently there was some big TikToker who's like big on sort of like celebrity gossip and whatever. And so many of her videos were reported, according to her, were reported such that she lost her TikTok account, which was like, you know, her livelihood or whatever. And so then she made another account and she said, you know, part of the TikTok account is helping me pay for my cancer treatments. So if I die, it's J-Lo's fault.
Oh my God. J-Lo's got blood on her hands.
And this woman did pass away from colon cancer a few weeks later. And so some people are trying to say it's J-Lo's fault. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
I feel like a few weeks is a little bit of a stretch, I don't think. But, you know, still can't feel good. Can't feel good for J-Lo's team.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I think there are questions about like how you respond to criticism of you when you're a big star. And like, I think it feels petty to me to be doing like copyright violations when people are reacting to you and what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could make an argument about fair use brand, to though. Me. Yeah, not what I've heard about her. Yeah. So I don't think we can really blame her I think we need to blame like the American healthcare system or something if people are not able to afford cancer treatment without their, you know, money, you know, six-figure like TikTok checks, but
horrifying.
Yeah, not a great look. She's definitely in her, people are saying she's in her flop era.
Yeah definitely.
But
definitely
Victor Manuel is not in his flop era. He's still going, he's still doing it. His recent album is pretty good. I do recommend listening to it. I was enjoying it very much.
So fun.
All right, folks. Well, I hope you enjoyed this little deep dive into Victor Manuel and enjoyed some salsa romántica in his honor today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing the research for this. It's been great to dive in.
Oh, no worries.
As always, everything that we talked about is in our show notes, and you can follow us on Instagram and on our newsletter where we have extra little tidbits for you.
Thanks to Maite for editing, and we will see you all next time.
Hasta la próxima, y'all.
Bye.